Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio, Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2. All the action, excitement and drama from across the entire women's game, including the Women's Super League,
cleared off the line by Steph Horton,
the UEFA Women's Champions League and the Euro 2021 qualifiers.
Lana Clellan striking from outside the penalty area.
World-beating big match conversation on the station that's raising the game for women's football.
And she scores!
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Women's Football Weekly. It is a huge day for the Barclays FA Women's Super League after the announcement of a landmark broadcast deal with the BBC and Sky Sports. The multi-million pound deal will see live women's league games shown on terrestrial television for the first time.
The FA have agreed what's been described as a landmark broadcast deal for the Women's Super League, which is fantastic news for all the players, for everybody associated with women's football.
We'll be speaking to the FA's director of the women's professional game, Kelly Simmons, about that. On the pitch, though, tonight's other guest, Arsenal in England defender Leah Williamson, will be delighted after Arsenal came out on top in the battle for the third Champions League spot on Friday night.
McCabe, out swinging, delivery, great delivery, fantastic header. It's Wubbamoy who gets Arsenal second.
And it's a big week for English football, and we'll hear from Chelsea manager Emma Hayes as Chelsea and Manchester City prepare for this season's Champions League quarterfinals.
I think anybody getting lulled into a place that this is a different Wolfsburg, they're fooled. This is a Wolfsburg team that, you know, have as much quality as I've ever seen in them, and I'm sure they'll be confident given their recent history against us.
We'll also speak to Birmingham City head coach Carla Ward and discuss the appointment of Gemma Granger as Wales' new manager. This is Women's Football Weekly, National Radio's only dedicated women's football show.
I'm Sam Mewis and you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
Thank you very much, Sam Mewis. Hello, team. How are you all doing? What a week it's been. Absolutely crazy. Discussing it with me, delighted to say, England and Arsenal defender Leah Williamson joins us again. How are you doing, Leah?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks. It's great to be here.
Lovely to have you as always. You're injured though at the minute. How are you getting on?
Yeah, I had a bit of a sticky one, a small issue that turned into something a bit bigger. So hopefully a couple more days and I'll be back on the pitch.
Wonderful. Well, we're very much looking forward to that. Listen, we're going to get straight to it because massive excitement for all women's football fans, those who've played the game, play the game currently, coach currently, work behind the scenes, watched when no one else did, dealt with trolls online, promoted the women's game for years, the journalists that covered it for free for so long. This day feels like it's really for you because a landmark deal has been done by the FA, Sky Sports and BBC to broadcast the Barclays FA WSL live for 3 years from next season. It's massive news for the growth of the game, investment in its future and, of course, vindication for many who've been huge advocates for this sport over the years. First of all, Leah, before we introduce Kelly Simmons, director of the women's professional game at the FA, I just want to get a player's reaction to this. How excited were you when you heard this news?
Yeah, honestly, it's the best news that we could have. You know, we've worked hard, as you say, from a player's perspective to raise the quality of the game, to make ourselves better, to commit to being professional athletes and making that show on the pitch and making our game a spectacle that we want to share with other people and that other people are interested in watching. So to now be given a platform like this, like you say, after so many years of fighting for every piece of coverage, because that's what it feels like on a daily basis, and to be given that platform now, and you know, the place that the women's game is in, I think it's so exciting, and honestly can't emphasize enough how lucky I feel to be involved at this time, to be honest.
Excellent. Well, let's speak to one of the women who has been so supportive of the Women's Game over the years and worked tirelessly to get us to this point. Kelly Simmons, Director of the Women's Professional Game at the FA. How are you? You must have had a really busy day.
Good evening, Faye, and hi, Leah. Yeah, fantastic day. We've had some great coverage of what, you know, as you've said, is a landmark moment, really, for the Women's Game. Multi-million pound partnership. Up to 66 live games across Sky and the BBC. A fantastic opportunity to massively raise the fan base of the women's game and have big audiences watching, you know, top-level women's football. And it's, you know, as Leah said, it's, you know, what the players deserve, that the fans deserve, and the pioneers who fought so hard to get the game where it is today. And so it's great to see, and it's great to have seen it, the announcement received so well across the game.
Yeah, there has been so much goodwill towards this. How much hard work has had to go into it behind the scenes, and how long has it been in the pipeline for?
I think we went out, ITT, the invitation to tender went out in the autumn. So, it's quite a process. It was a competitive process. We always thought that a mix of free-to-air and pay-per-view was the right strategy for the women's game to drive revenue, much-needed revenue for the game, but also to drive, you know, huge exposure. I mean, the BBC partnership obviously gives us the opportunity to have the sorts of audiences that would make the Women's Super League the most watched league after the Premier League, and obviously the partnership with Sky and what they've done for the men's game and what they can do for the women's game. It's absolutely huge. So, you know, we think we'll be the most watched women's football league in the world, and it really is a significant breakthrough for the development of the Women's Super League.
Yeah, I love that it could be the most watched women's league in the world is absolutely superb. But what I also loved is that Sky Sports want to sprinkle their Sky Sports magic on it, and it's not just going to be a case of, you know, you tune in and watch the game live. There's actually going to be proper build-up, proper reaction, and, you know, and that's the kind of thing that's going to really grow the audiences.
Sky have said in their release today that they've put their full weight, their full sort of Sky special kind of magic behind it, which means, you know, top class coverage, not just the game itself, but all of the build up and the marketing. You know, they're planning to invest multi-millions in the marketing of the games as well to make sure we absolutely maximise this fantastic opportunity to grow our audiences. So, you know, both partnerships, that and having, you know, games, 18, a minimum of at least 18 games on BBC One, BBC Two, you know, is huge for the women's game, because those slots will command, you know, some of the biggest audiences watching sport in this country.
Mm. Yeah, Kelly, I was going to say as well, obviously keeping some of the coverage on the BBC feels to me like we're, you know, staying with the roots of the game. You know, there's so many people that maybe worry that when the game grows, we'll lose what makes it so beautiful almost and makes us different from the men's game. Do you think that's a factor? Do you think that's a one positive also?
Yeah, very much so. I think we always wanted a free-to-air partner alongside, you know, a partner like Sky. And I think that's really important. Not everybody's got, is able to afford pay-per-view television. So to have that, have BBC alongside Sky is really, really important. And we know the BBC, we've seen it with the Women's FA Cup, and then we've seen it, you know, with England, that you can get some of the absolutely huge audiences on BBC One and BBC Two. So, you know, we're still in a growth phase. You know, there's still, there's a huge amount of interest in the women's game. We know there's around 6 million fans that follow men's football that are increasingly engaging in the women's game. And we've got to get that game, the fantastic quality of the WSL in front of fans and in front of families and young girls that we want to inspire to play and pick up the boots and enjoy the game. So, you know, it's really important, I think, that mix. And I think that's what's really strong about this announcement today, this sort of blended package, if you like, of free-to-air and pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's really important. And actually growing the game is vital. But it's something that we've talked about a lot over the years, isn't it? And the answer always has been you can't grow the game without revenue. But this brings in a significant amount of revenue. I know that the numbers haven't been officially announced. We're talking around 7 or 8 million, I understand. Is that right? a year?
Well, we haven't announced the numbers. Obviously, we don't put sort of commercially sensitive numbers in the
public. Oh, I tried.
Yeah, I know you did. And obviously, the press are reporting sort of 7 to 8 million a year. I think what probably hasn't been reported, which is also, you know, significant, is the sorts of audiences that this is going to deliver means that, you know, league sponsorship programmes, club sponsorship programmes, the fronts of shirt, all of those things that can be sold in the women's game to brands, you know, will hugely increase in value because the audiences are going to be some of the biggest audiences in sport, not women's sport, in sport, watching the WSL next season.
And that's really key, isn't it? We've talked about this many times before, Kelly. You know, it is sport. It shouldn't have to be segregated in terms of women's sport and men's sport. It's sport that everybody's passionate about. As I understand it, some of the revenue generates is going to be put back into the development of the game. Can you give us a little bit more insight into that?
Yep. One of the areas that we are looking at, which I can't go into too much detail around yet because we need to finalise the plans and we'll probably make an announcement sort of mid-April, but the development of refereeing in the women's game is an area that has been underinvested and we want to put that right and make sure we're really investing in and supporting what is a tough job in the middle, the officials. So that's one area definitely that we're making plans on right now.
And then 70% of the rest of the money is going to go to WSL clubs and 25% to championship clubs. What lessons do you feel have been learnt from the way men's football structure their broadcast deals? Because there's no kind of, you know, teams saying, well, hang on a minute, we're going to be clearly on television more than you are, so we should get more money.
Yeah, I mean, I've not worked in the men's professional game. I mean, I've worked in men's football, but not in the professional side. So, you know, I'll leave others to sort of judge the solidarity payments and how that works and what the leagues think of it. What I can say on this one is that, you know, there was a lot of commitment to making sure that it's not just the WSL clubs that benefit, but also the championship. And felt that was really important because we need a strong pyramid and we need to make sure that whoever wins the championship is able to come up. And we've got that strong link between promotion and relegation. And we've got ambitions for the championship. And that level of investment at tier two in the game can make a big, big difference. So really pleasing to see that 75-25 split today.
There's obviously been some consternation that the money isn't being filtered down further to the women's football pyramid, the FA Women's National League. What is the reasoning behind that not happening?
The amounts, really, at this stage, to spread it so thinly, it would lose impact. The best way that we can generate future revenues for the whole of the pyramid is to grow the revenue through the WSL, and that means some investment in the quality of the product now and investing and supporting those clubs who are having to fund professional and in the championship semi-professional football. So it doesn't mean that down the line it's an absolutely important part, I think, of the vision of women's football, but with the sums that we're talking about and the fact that we need to make sure it's broadcast ready, sort out pitch quality, invest in refereeing, support those clubs who are paying significant amounts of funding currently to operate professional and semi-professional football. It was felt this time that we focus on tier one and two, but for the future, obviously, we want to continue to significantly grow revenue. Today is a start, and that means that the whole pyramid can benefit.
You read my mind there in terms of pitch quality, because obviously the broadcasters aren't going to be wanting to put in this kind of significant amount of money if they're going to get postponements like we've seen over the years. So what is being done to prevent that from happening from next season?
Well, we're working with the Football Foundation. We're working with the clubs to identify where we've got concerns around pitches. We're testing those pitches three times a year. So we've already got in place plans to make sure everything is done to try and get the most out of those pitches. Ideally, we'd put down Deso pitches, a better quality of pitch where we can, which is what we're talking to the Football Foundation about. We've also got in the deal, we've costed, if we need it, emergency covers like having the men's FA Cup, so that if we know we've got really bad rain coming up, we can get those covers down to make sure we protect those live games. So a number of things really to try and crack that problem.
Yeah, brilliant. Just finally, before I let you go, do you feel like we're getting a big step change, actually? Because this week FIFA announced, or last week, it's Monday, isn't it, today? FIFA announced that they want the decision on who hosts the Women's World Cup in 2027 made the same way that the men's is for the first time. So all 211 members deciding rather than just the FIFA Council. And that's really crucial, isn't it? Do you feel as if there's a big switch within football as a whole about the importance of women's football as well?
I think, absolutely. I think there is a complete sort of sea change in terms of the women's game globally. I remember saying when we signed Barclays as title partner for the Women's Super League, I really genuinely thought that the WSL could be the breakthrough sport where women's sport becomes mainstream. And I think, you know, we're seeing that not just in this country, but across the world, that women's football is breaking through. And I think today signifies that this is not just about the pinnacle events when the Lionesses are doing brilliantly. This is about high profile coverage week in, week out. And it's what the game needs. And it's what the game deserves. And it's brilliant to see it finally happening.
Excellent stuff. Listen, Kelly, congratulations. Well done. And thank you on behalf of everybody for getting this deal over the line. It really is so exciting for everybody. And we hope to chat to you again soon.
It's a big team effort. Thanks very much.
Take care. Kelly Simmons there, Director of the Women's Professional Game at the FA. Just before we wrap on this, let's hear from Chelsea manager Emma Hayes, shall we? Because she's been speaking about the impact of this deal on clubs and fans.
Well, I think it's a day everybody has worked really hard towards. This isn't any one person or any one club or the Football Association alone. This is the sport and everybody involved with the sport, both on the pitch and off the pitch. I think they've driven a new standard. And the fact that it's a record deal worldwide just shows how much we are putting our money where our mouth is and valuing a women's game that has demonstrated time and time again that it's a product people want to watch. Now the demands are back on the club, not just to make sure our games are on week in, week out. I'm always about making sure the standards are high across the board. But I've also said to players and everybody alike, as the drive for more wages or better conditions are there, and they've been there and they've been driven internally, I've always said that we're not generating any revenue yet. So this is the first, I think, really big watershed market moment where there's a trickle down effect where the clubs are actually going to prosper from that. So I think it's something that everybody's excited about.
Chelsea manager Emma Hayes there. Leah Williamson, Arsenal and England defender, is with us on Women's Football Weekly tonight. And it does feel like such a watershed moment, doesn't it? Is it something that the players that you've all spoken about, that you say this is it now?
Yeah, I think I'd be lying if I said we weren't cautious, you know, of getting ahead of ourselves. There's been a couple of moments in recent history where we've thought maybe we've made a bit of a breakthrough and then you just sort of see things fade out again. But like you say, you know, the coverage and the money that's going to the clubs and sort of, you know, getting our worth almost, it feels. So I do think this feels different, and hopefully this is a real, real turning point. But I'd be lying if I said we weren't all still slightly cautious, just because, you know, like I said, we've fought for everything for so long. It almost feels weird to have something as good as this happen.
Well, hopefully at some point you'll be able to actually enjoy it, and that won't be the case, but I can understand. Let's call it cautious optimism, shall we, instead. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers alongside Arsenal and England's Leah Williamson. And coming up, we're going to be chatting through Friday night's big clash between Arsenal and Manchester United.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the only show on national radio dedicated to women's football, with me, Faye Carruthers, and Arsenal and England's Leah Williamson. Don't forget, if you do miss any of our shows or you want to listen again, our podcast is available on the TalkSport app, so you can download that today and just go to our podcast section. Right, let's actually get on to some football, shall we? The big game on Friday night between Arsenal and Manchester United.
Rhodes could be in here, and what a start this is for Arsenal. A brilliant run from midfield from Jill Rhodes, and it did take a deflection, but in it went. McCabe, out swinging, delivery, great delivery, fantastic header. It's Wuppen Mooi who gets Arsenal's second. Rose brilliantly in the box there, fine cross from McCabe. 2-0 Arsenal. How Arsenal needed that. The Gunners' hopes of Champions League football given a huge lift. It's only Manchester United's fourth league defeat of the season, but it could prove a very costly one indeed.
So it finished Arsenal 2, Manchester United 0. Leah Williamson, our guest tonight, obviously couldn't play because she's injured, but what did you make of that performance, Leah?
Yeah, no, the girls did a great job. There was a lot at stake, you know, the way that things have worked out. We've maybe left, you know, put ourselves out of the title race, or at least for what we can control. So that left just a Champions League spot to fight for in terms of what was within, you know, our control and, like I say, what we could have an effect on. So it was important, and the girls did the job quite convincingly.
Yeah, 3 points behind Manchester United now, with a game in hand and a superior goal difference as well. Is there a confidence within the squad that you can get that final Champions League place?
Obviously, if we'd have if we hadn't have picked up the win, then things would look very different for us. But you know, once you have control over the results, you know, we've only got ourselves to blame if we don't get it now, which is a good position to be in. It means that you can just focus on yourselves and hopefully and get over the finish line. But you know, as we've said, the WSL is growing and more competitive every single year, so you just really don't know what's going to happen in the upcoming fixtures.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously went down to 10 with Beth Mead getting a second yellow card for a challenge on Lucy Staniforth, which made things difficult for you, but held on in the end. And Lotta Wuppen Mooi was fantastic, getting player of the match.
Yeah, I was fangirling Lotta a lot after the game. It's good, you know, she's like me. She's Arsenal through and through. I know that she's a very deep person, very intense when it comes to her football, and very focused. So to see her, you know, reap the rewards of the work that she's been putting in training, I think it's great. And, you know, the opportunities that she's had, she's taken with both hands. So I'm really, really happy for Lotta. And she was outstanding.
Really interesting comments from Kelly Simmons earlier on regarding improvements being made with money going for the development of referees. And Casey Stoney, Manchester United manager, felt like her players, especially Lauren James, she said, were targeted with persistent fouling, and she just was not impressed with referee Amy Fearn at all, telling BT Sport after the game, "I thought the referee was atrocious at best, and that's not an excuse for my team losing, but we've got to improve the officiating in this league. We really have to, because if Lauren James reacts to any of those, she ends up off the pitch, she gets no protection, and it's really disappointing." What did you make of those comments?
Yeah, I think, you know, Casey's obviously been in the game a long time, had a playing career, and I'm sure she'll have experienced the same frustrations that some of us do with the officiating. Obviously, it's a tough job. I joke around all the time saying that I wouldn't want to be one, because I know how much, you know, how many conversations I have with them during a game. And, you know, it's a player's instinct and a coach's instinct to want to defend their team. And I think that's what really triggers people. It's the protection. Obviously, coming from Arsenal, I think personally we've been targeted for a long time in terms of, you know, persistent fouling and things like that. So it's definitely not a target of ours. But you see that if you're not, you know, you don't get the protection from the referees, and if you don't play a certain way, sometimes you can even lose fixtures, which we don't want. We don't want that to creep into the game. And like I said, it definitely wasn't a tactic from us, but you can get away with so much that if a yellow card was given early, and I do think they had a couple of bad challenges as well, It's generally quite an equal thing. I don't think any team is necessarily targeted and or you know, perceives unfair treatment from refs like that. But I do think it is a problem because we've had injuries in the past and we've lost key players for long periods of time in a season because of a really bad challenge that could have been stopped with an early yellow or whatever. So I do think it's obviously very encouraging to hear that we're investing in that area. Because I certainly have faced the frustrations that Casey would have during that game at some point, or you know, over my playing career. And like I say, she's been in the game a lot longer than me. So yeah, I think when it builds up, it's hard not to speak your mind.
Yeah, and it's crucial, isn't it, to improve the officiating, I mean, across all of football, but particularly in women's football at the moment. You know, it has to show the same professionalism that the players do. And, you know, I'm not blaming the referees for that because they just don't have enough investment for training. Most of them, you know, it's not a full-time job for them. So it's very, very different. But yeah, hopefully that is going to change in the future. Some other games last week, Everton lost 3-0 to Chelsea, who are 2 points clear of Manchester City at the top of the table. Chelsea recovering from an early penalty miss, ended up cruising the game really, but Leopold's penalty saved superbly by Corpella, with Sandy McKeever out at the moment. Frank Kirby though back with a cool finish. I mean, she's just been superb this season, and Leopold's eventually on the score sheet along with Pernilla Harder as well, and could have been more if it wasn't for Corpella. She was pretty busy all evening. The other game, Wednesday, Bristol City 0, Manchester City 3. Matt Beard made 6 changes to the team that lost in the Conti Cup final with 2 games this week. Obviously, the Spurs game yesterday was definitely the priority for City. Caroline Weir, Ellen White and Sam Mewis with the goals. They remain 2 points behind Chelsea. But Spurs for Bristol, which was on Sunday, it finished Tottenham 1, Bristol City 1, and that point for Bristol City sends West Ham bottom of the table and puts City level with Aston Villa, which is absolutely massive. However, Villa and West Ham do have 2 games in hand, and they've still got to play each other twice as well. So that's going to make for a really interesting end to the season. But the bounce back that Matt Beard has managed to do, Leah, has been so impressive, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it has been. The way that they've played, especially in the semi-final, was it the semi-final of the Cup or against Reading? The game that was on TV, I think it was just a league game. It was incredible. They went behind early and still managed to pull it back. So I think, yeah, I think when you get a new lease of life and somebody comes in, it's fresh. It's always encouraging when you see a team sort of show it straight away. But yeah, no, they've definitely turned it around in terms of their early performances.
Yeah, they certainly have. Brighton improving their results as well. Aston Villa 0, Brighton 2, which is Brighton's 4th win in a row now, in such good form, and now 6th in the table as well. Right, this is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers. I'm alongside England defender Leah Williamson. And next up, Birmingham head coach Carla Ward will be with us.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come.
And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faker Ruthers, and keeping you company with me is Arsenal defender Leah Williamson. Right, West Ham 2, Birmingham City 2. To talk about that, why don't we say a big hello to Birmingham City head coach Carla Ward, who joins us now. How are you doing, Carla?
Very well, Faye. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Just first and foremost, we talked about the landmark broadcast deal, but I just wanted to hear your thoughts on it.
Huge. Honestly, when it's coming, obviously, there's been a lot of speculation in the last couple of weeks. So when it was announced this morning, it was massive. You know, I've seen a lot about it. This is exactly what the women's game needs. Needs to be about growth now rather than money. There's a lot of talk out there around the money side of it. But actually, this is what we need. We need it to be visible. We now, with that visibility, we can now be at the forefront. And really, if you're a young girl growing up now, you know you've got a future ahead of you, and you can really take that seriously. So for me, this is huge, massive moment, and particularly for clubs like ourselves, you almost hope that these moments make clubs really want to step up and support the women's teams, because let's be honest, the women's games are only going to go from strength to strength now.
Yeah, it certainly is. Very well said. And makes you want to stay in this league more than ever, I would expect, and gives the players something really to fight for. And it's interesting you say about the money side of it, because, of course, with the visibility comes the money, comes the commercial deals and everything else along with it. It's absolutely vital for the women's game. And the kind of money that is going to come in from the broadcast deals to help clubs can only improve the professionalism of the game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I heard Kelly speak earlier about refereeing, about pitches. These are all, well, they've played obviously key parts in our season, that's for sure. So delighted to hear that certain areas are getting looked at. And I think, even from a commercial point of view, from front of shirt sponsors to visibility at ground. And this is going to be huge, because whereas you might be able to get X amount for front of shirt, you might be able to double that or triple that, and that certainly helps them with player budgets, with facilities, with resource, with creating an environment that elite players want to come and enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely crucial. Right, you rescued a point against West Ham really late on in the end. Ruby Mace, the Arsenal loanee, scoring in the 94th minute. That point could be vital at the end of the season.
Yeah, massive. And you know, since Ruby's come in, she's a young, talented individual. Leah, you'll know that. She's fantastic, utter professional. And I was delighted, not just for ourselves, but for Ruby as well. You know, she's stepped into the WSL. She's taken it in her stride. And what a moment to get your first WSL goal. But crucial point. And I think it also stopped West Ham picking up all three. So massive, massive point.
Yeah, they're bottom of the table now, obviously. You're 3 points clear of them. It's going to be tight down to the wire. But yeah, the problems that you've had this season have been off the field predominantly. Obviously, you know, results haven't necessarily gone your way. But since you've come in, you've done such a fantastic job at Birmingham. But everything going on off the field must have been increasingly frustrating.
Yeah, look, it's been tough. I think it's been well documented in the press, sort of the struggles that we've had this year. I knew coming into the job in the summer that it was going to be tough. I knew it was going to be sort of project survival. It's part of the reason I took the job. But yeah, probably didn't anticipate as the struggle that has been. But look, that makes it even more credit to the players and what they're continuing to achieve, because, you know, nobody gave them a chance. And you know, they've been utter professionals from minute one and not allowing anything to sort of disrupt them. And no, they're a credit. They're a credit to the football club, and hopefully they'll get the rewards.
Yeah, well, big blow on Friday. I mean, we've talked about this story a lot on Women's Football Weekly over the past couple of months, but an independent tribunal obviously decided to award Tottenham 3 points after Birmingham called off your game in January, citing an unprecedented shortage of player availability as the reason for calling the game off with 24 hours notice. I've read your response, and I've also read the response of your general manager, Sarah Westwood, as well. But in your own words, Carla, how disappointing was this result?
Look, it's massive. You know, it's not just massive for us. It's massive for West Ham, for Villa, for Bristol, because ultimately, if you look at Tottenham's running, it's not favourable. And for me, that allows them safety. And it's frustrating because, look, you know, I think that the same day, obviously, there were other teams that had theirs postponed. There's no dressing it up. Obviously, Everton now were in a similar boat to us and were able to replay there. So there is a lot of frustration around that, naturally, and I think I've made my feelings quite clear on that. But it is what it is. Another thing that, you know, we say to the group, you roll your sleeves up, use it as motivation, use it as motivation to drive you and make sure that we get the points that we need without those three. But to say I'm not massively disappointed would be an understatement.
Yeah, well, it's consistency, isn't it? I think that's where the frustration lies. If that had been the case for everybody, you could then understand it. But there doesn't seem to have been, you know, blanket decisions made.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's a difficult one. I appreciate how difficult it is for the FA with what they've presented, is what I would say. I mean, the one thing I can say is we've been honest in our assessment with players, whether they're injured, whether they've got COVID. We can only present what we can present. I don't know what other teams can. So I appreciate that the FA are only going based on what's presented to them. So it's tough, but look, we get on with it. And like I've said to the girls all season, take this as motivation, take it as hunger and drive, and make sure that, you know, we don't go down without a fight. And they do exactly that, so credit to them.
Yeah, credit to them indeed. Obviously, we discussed the pitch problems briefly, and we've talked to you about it before. But bearing in mind what's happening next season with the new broadcast deal, it's going to be absolutely vital that games are played and the games run professionally. And Kelly Simmons did say that money was going to be invested in making sure that you know, pitches are playable. Actually, I've got a question for you from one of our regular listeners, Sue Klesniks, who's been unable to go to some of your matches because of the recent postponements. And she wants to know, seeing as Coventry are returning to the Ricoh Arena, obviously they're ground sharing with Birmingham men's team at the moment. Is there any kind of plan in place that you could potentially play at St Andrews next season?
It's certainly a question. Anybody that knows me knows that I knock on the board's door quite regularly. One question that we're currently asking is exactly that. You know, it's not about Solihull or anything else. I've said for years now, even prior to me being in the WSL, that for WSL football, for footballers, and we're talking about one of the best leagues in the world with some of the best players in the world. So in my opinion, they need the best facilities in the world and some of the best pitches. So it's got to be looked at. Every individual club needs to look at it and know that they're going to be playing in a stadium fit for purpose, and will be the same. But certainly it's a conversation or a question that has been asked and that will continue to be asked. And hopefully that you never know.
I have no doubt you're going to have sore knuckles over the next few months. Listen, brilliant. Always great to chat with you, Carla. Hopefully talk to you again soon, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks, Faye. All the best, Leah.
Brilliant stuff. Birmingham City head coach Carla Ward there. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers, alongside Arsenal's Leah Williamson. And next up, we're going to be chatting Champions League. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the UK's only national radio show dedicated to women's football, with me, Faye Carruthers, alongside Arsenal's Leah Williamson. Don't forget, if you miss any of the show, you can catch up by downloading the TalkSport app and subscribing to our podcast. Just search Women's Football Weekly. Right, no championship games this week, but a bit of championship news for you, because Charlton have announced that former Tottenham manager Karen Hills is going to be their new head coach. She'll lead the club in preparation for them going full-time from July. Obviously played a key role in Spurs turning professional during her 11-year tenure there. The new owner at Charlton, Thomas Sangard, clearly wants to invest in women's football, which is great news. And I'm sure that we're going to have Karen on the show soon to discuss her new role. Charlton, of course, ninth in the league, 3 points above bottom side London Bees, but they do have 2 games in hand. Great to see Karen Hills back in the game, Leah.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, people like Karen have done so much for the women's game, and, you know, been there through it all, really. So the experience is so valuable. And yeah, Charlton lucky to have her.
Yeah, they certainly are. Wales as well have announced their new manager after the departure of Jane Ludlow. Gemma Granger has been to 7 international tournaments with England's age grade sides as head coach and was part of the coaching staff which led England's Lionesses to the semi-finals of Euro 2017 as well. Let's hear from her first before we get Leah's thoughts on this appointment. We heard from her about what she hopes to achieve in the new role.
So for me, it's about building on the foundations, you know, the work that Jane has done with the team. There's some really good foundations there. I think it's about building on them and prioritising, you know, what are the gaps, what are the things that are going to get us over the line. In international football, the margins are so fine. And, you know, we're at the beginning of that journey now to, you know, so my first priority is going to be to meet the players, meet the staff and put together our 4-year plan, you know, starting off with the 2-year World Cup qualification campaign. Looking forward to the draw on April the 30th. You know, that's the next thing in my mind after the April camp. But most importantly, building on the foundations and looking at what the next chapter is for us. So what are the gaps? What are the things we want to push? What, you know, the mentality that we want to drive forward with?
That's new Wales manager Gemma Granger, who Leah Williamson, you know quite well.
Yeah, no, I do. I've been lucky enough to work with Gemma through the age groups at England, and we were Gemma's the assistant coach in that sort of crazy penalty that situation that I found myself in, and she was sort of integral to us all coming through that and it working out. And yeah, I've kept in touch with Gemma over the years. That she's honestly one of the best people in football, I think. She's one of the nicest people, and yeah, she's got big ambitions. We always used to talk about that, and I'd say what mine were, and you know, Gem wants to be one of the top coaches around it. So I'm actually buzzing for her. I think it's a really lovely thing, and yeah, I hope she does really well.
How did she help you in that situation? Because obviously it was the most bizarre circumstances. You might need to refresh some of our listeners' memories who don't remember the sleepless night you had before.
Yeah, no, I had to retake a penalty 5 days later because of the wrong decision from the referee. So it was a long wait, torturous, if I'm being honest, and I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But Gem was just... I think she's one of these coaches that sort of looks outside the box. That was always my experience with her in terms of, obviously, football's so important, but how many other things can you use to gain an advantage over the other team, and to put me in that scenario, to put me in the right frame of mind to be able to deliver on essentially one kick from 12 yards. But yeah, just sort of, I don't know, it's nice when you're a player and you feel like a coach respects you as a person as well. And She'd take the time and effort to improve those relationships to then carry out onto the football pitch. So, I'm really she can pay me later for being so nice to her, to be honest. But big fan of Gemma, yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, well, hopefully we'll get Gemma Granger on soon. Obviously, Wales trying to pick themselves up after failing to qualify for the home European Championships next year. She takes charge from April's training camp. Friendly fixtures they have are against Canada and Denmark. Now then, it is a massive, and I'm sorry to talk to you about this, Leah, bearing in mind Arsenal, unfortunately, aren't involved, but fingers crossed for next season. But the Champions League quarterfinals, absolutely huge for two British sides. Manchester City play Barcelona on Wednesday morning. It's on BT Sport at 11:30, the first leg being played out in Monza in Italy. And then Chelsea take on Wolfsburg 4 p.m. on Wednesday, also on BT Sport, and that's being played in Budapest. We heard from Emma Hayes, Chelsea manager, earlier on today about how she's feeling about her team's chances in the Champions League and facing up against a side that's knocked them out 3 times previously.
I've said before, I think 6 teams could win this easily. I don't think there's one favourite over another. I think it's all about, at this stage, how you manage. You need experience, you need discipline. You need all of your, I think, nous to realise that when you play outside of a domestic game, there's so many different other factors involved, different refereeing, different type of presses, different type of build-ups that you face in terms of what the opponent does. So you have to manage all of that, those stresses, that stimulus, and that takes time to develop. So I've got a lot of experience in my team too, and I'm looking forward to watching them cope with playing against a team that has won every time in the biggest games against us. And I'm extremely curious to see how far we've progressed in the last 3 years.
I think we're all curious to see how far they've progressed in the last 3 years. Emma Hayes, Chelsea manager, there ahead of their tie against Wolfsburg on Wednesday. Do you feel as if Manchester City and Chelsea have both shown enough this season that they can really go and show this on a European stage now, Leah?
Yeah, I think so. Certainly in the games that they've played against us and against each other, you know, they've both been really consistent. Both showed that they're, you know, the way they attack is a force to be reckoned with. And I think that's what you need when you go to Europe. You know, it's not enough to be a solid team that can sort of, you know, drag out results. It's about sort of attacking the other team and really, I don't know, just dominating. And I think both of them have the capability to do that, which is great for obviously English football and on that stage.
Obviously, Arsenal, the only Women's Champions League winners from the UK. How do you feel about another British side potentially winning this tournament? Or you know, is it kind of club over country with when it comes to the Champions League?
Yeah, I think it is for me. And it's funny, isn't it? Because you always, you know, you always want English teams to do well. And I do think it's great when they do. But yeah, definitely I've been spoken to by many legends of the past that have played at Arsenal that have reminded me that we're the only English side to win it. And they'd quite like to keep that title, I think. So yeah, if it can stay in-house the first time an English team win it again, that would be great. But yeah, I can't lie, obviously it is great to see English teams doing so well, but yeah, definitely club over country on that one.
That's really interesting to hear, and hopefully Arsenal will make the Champions League next season. I mean, it's vital that three clubs get the opportunity to be in that league next year.
No, exactly. We've said it before, you know, the quality of games in the Women's Champions League just haven't been high enough really over the years, and it's you know, you could get one hard game and then another could be a whitewash. So it's definitely important that, you know, we have talented players in England and we have good teams and we need to be on that stage.
And no offence to Leon, but we all want a different winner, don't we now? Come on, it's getting boring, surely.
It's getting boring, yeah.
It is. Listen, Leah, it's been an absolute pleasure, as it always is when you join us on Women's Football Weekly. Take care. Hope the injury gets better and we see you back out on the pitch soon.
Thanks, Faith. Lovely speaking to you.
Brilliant. Leah Williamson there. Next week, we're going to be joined by former Chelsea and England defender Claire Rafferty. But a massive thank you to Leah Williamson, Kelly Simmons, Carla Ward, producer Flo, and of course, all of you as ever for listening. Don't forget, if you do miss any of the show or you want to listen back to any of our specials from last year, perhaps, you can download the Women's Football Weekly podcast. That's via the TalkSport app.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.